Welcome to the Self-Storage Canada podcast, where Deanie Burns and Jason Coonan talk high-level self-storage news, trends, economy, and education while sharing their expert experience in the Canadian market. This podcast is for owners, operators, and investors with all levels of experience as we all try to grow our businesses and leave our mark on the self-storage industry.
Everyone, I'm Deanie Burns, and I am the Chief of Staff with Bluebird Self Storage, and I'm here with our CEO, Jason Coonan. How are you doing, Jason?
Doing great, Deanie. Nice to be here again.
Absolutely. I love doing these pods with you. Super fun. So we have some great news today. So it is the June summer kickoff season, and it is hopping. It is hopping in Canada. So we want to update you on some of the latest goings on in Canada. Lots is happening. We're seeing rentals increase. The snow is melting. The fields are green and beautiful, and lots of new residential development going on in Canada. So Jason, I wanted to quickly ask you about a market update. Can you provide one for us?
Sure. We're going to dive in a little bit later to some of the rental activity we're seeing, but certainly things have changed as we moved into May. You know, after kind of a long off season, the rental season has really been quite busy. And I would say at a high level, the 2025 start is much stronger than what we saw in 2024. So it's very, very encouraging. And we're seeing tremendous amount of rental demand across Canada, lots of continued population growth, and some very interesting investors moving into the market with some large transactions.
Ooh, I saw that. So can you address the Quadreal Maple Leaf transaction of $500 million that just happened?
Sure. I think there's been several articles written about this transaction. The target portfolio with Maple Leaf, they had 15 or 16 properties in Western Canada, primarily in the Vancouver market, a few in Calgary, in Alberta. And this transaction is the largest ever in Canada. Wow. Some of the reports are talking about over $500 million. Other people are talking about closer to $1 billion. So quite a large transaction. Just a few years ago, Bluebird sold some sites. That was one of the largest transactions to date, and it was closer to $300 million. So now we're talking about a transaction that could be three times the size. So, without getting too deep into the details, it's clearly a very bullish sign. You've got, Canadian private equity investors buying portfolios in Western Canada. There's another portfolio up for sale in Eastern Canada. So these are very large sort of landmark deals, a lot of trophy assets. You can't really, build assets much cheaper these days, and you can't build them in many of these areas. So getting the zoning and spending 5 years on entitlements in Vancouver, this is a very, very significant transaction for Quadreal. And a really encouraging sign with institutional investors really putting money to work in Canada. I thought it was going to happen, in the last couple of years, but, finally things have settled down. Interest rates have come back down. Some of these large institutional investors that haven't been in the Canadian self-storage market are now getting in and kind of adding it to their arsenal and diversifying their investments. So it's a real shift, I would say, with some of the portfolio sales that are taking place in 2025.
So, yeah, excellent update. So I wanted to ask you, this kind of begs the question. So how is this going to impact Bluebird and the go forward? How are you pivoting and prepping for this transaction and acquisition, if at all? I mean, it maybe could not impact Bluebird at all.
Well, I think overall, I think it's going to be good for the industry because we're bringing in new sources of capital. There's a lot of institutional investors in Canada and the U.S. that want to put money to work. They want to put money to work in storage. So It's not cheap to build storage in Canada. You know, many of the facilities are 10 million, 20 million, 30 million. So you need significant sources of capital. And I think this gives, you know, increasing credibility to the investment opportunity that some very well respected firms are making big purchases. And I think other investors will take note. I think there are a lot of Canadian investors who, institutional investors who are fairly conservative and not well-versed in storage, but they understand Canada, of course. And then there's some U.S. investors who may understand storage, but still don't fully understand the Canadian sort of growth story. So I think as people get educated on these topics, you know, the one thing in common with, you know, the last two or three big Canadian transactions is all the buyers were very familiar with the Canadian story. And I think that U.S. investors have looked at Canada, but they don't really understand the valuation. They don't know why people are paying so much. They don't realize that with continued population growth, you're going to have significant opportunity for rent increases. So even though you're paying a very high multiple, very low cap rate for existing income on these properties, you're really betting on the ability to execute and to drive occupancy and rents over time. People are thinking, you know, the cap rates are probably going to be, you know, 6-7% on current income, but you've got investors, you know, paying, you know, four caps and lower just to get into the market and have the ability to operate these properties and to grow the income, you know, over a 5-year period. So I think it will help us overall by bringing awareness to Canadian self-storage.
Excellent answer. That's, I was just going to ask you, what do you think the industry impact would be, which is more important, right? And you answered it. So thank you for that. So yeah, just wanted to lead into, I was just in Canada visiting some facilities in Alberta and also on Vancouver Island, British Columbia, in the city of Victoria. So we have some great properties there. We have our Bluebird Storage Princess, Bluebird Storage Quadra, and Bluebird Storage Johnson, which is a historical facility. And we just had a grand opening with that. It was really exciting. But some things to note that I noted in Canada is tremendous amount of growth. So there were a lot of new residential homes going in, especially in Alberta. It is growing just exponentially. So that's a great market for self-storage. And as I'm doing analysis across Canada, when prospects or whomever comes to us for analyses, I've noticed that the supply is lower than the U.S. And so it is a great area to invest in. And I was pleasantly surprised with all the new building going on, new development, and lots of new stores, retail going in, lots of new apartments. So lots of business is happening there. So that is very exciting. And also wanted to ask you about the development process with Canada. Isn't it a little bit longer than the U.S. typically in terms of getting entitlements and permits?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons for why you're seeing such low cap rates on some of these transactions is the values that they can command with, you know, limited supply in Canada of storage and then, you know, limited supply for sale. And then you take that and you've got, you know, some locations that, you know, you might not be able to get zoned for storage or get through your entitlements. It'll take you 5 years. So I think that some of those barriers to entry are significant. And that's why these transactions are so important, because it gives large institutional investors an immediate presence, right, with, you know, 15 or 20 locations right out of the gate. I want to go back a little bit to the trip that you just went on. You know, you mentioned that you were in Western Canada, in Alberta and BC. I know when I go to Toronto in Eastern Canada and I see all the tower cranes, and then I go out to Calgary and I see just tremendous housing developments, you know, with rooftops being built, you know, thousand upon thousand. I've never seen anything like that in the Eastern U.S. Talk a little bit more about what you saw from the growth, and talk about, you know, for your experience, you know, with U.S. self-storage and a lot of your focus on customer experience, What was it like to meet some of our staff, and how are they delivering on the Bluebird difference?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. So when I was out there, it was just amazing. There's a lot of land. There's a lot of open land, but there is so much growth going on and just new stores popping up everywhere and new housing, like I said, and new apartments. And so that was very encouraging. And then, you know, speaking about our staff, I was just blown away. I was amazed. We hire excellent staff and the customers love them. And so I was watching some of the interactions with the staff and the customers, and the customers feel valued. They feel seen, they feel heard. Our staff would walk up and greet them with a friendly smile, offer them a cup of coffee. The stores were immaculate. I was so impressed with that, and wonderful locations. So, anyways, it was interesting to me the variety of different stores in terms of, like, Blackfoot was attached to a casino and they focused on more commercial customers, and, you know, then seeing Dufferin with the car wash and the LTL car wash and our other ones that one of them, I think it was Buffalo that mm-hmm. had the dog wash. There's yep. one that had the dog wash and surrounded by residential. So it was great interacting yep. with the facility managers and asking them, how can I support you from a marketing perspective? Who's your main demographic in terms of customer? Do we focus more on commercial or do we focus more on residential? And we came up with some great marketing ideas. And I loved engaging with our managers because they are the best at marketing and they know their people. And one of the, it was Dufferin. So I believe it was Haley and Allison who came up with partnering with a movie theater, and they are going to run a commercial that the movie theater made about us at every movie and every screening, and they get a tremendous amount of traffic every month in terms of, you know, people going to the theater. And so then we thought about how we could partner more, and actually the owner of the theater came in and wanted to meet me and meet Vince Curtin, our VP of operations. And so we got a picture with him, Lane. He was great. So it was just that personal interaction and just seeing the Bluebird difference in terms of customer experience, the warm, friendly welcome. We care about you. How can we help you? How can we serve you? How can we make your experience better? Listening to feedback. And one woman came into one of our stores and said, wow, the stress just left. I just feel so warm and welcomed here, and just the stress just left. And they carry with them a lot of compassion and empathy as well. So I was really impressed by our entire team, even some of the newer employees. They had kind of caught hold of the culture of affirming others, supporting, serving, you know, just working with all heart. So that was beautiful to see.
Yeah, I think that's the common thread. You know, we have different properties, different markets. Some are newer that we've built, some we've acquired, might be older, might not have all the modern amenities in some cases, but we can always keep them clean. We can always provide, you know, honest, transparent, kind service to people. And that's really what makes the difference. So even though the buildings are all different, I think there's a certain level of respect and service that customers can expect whenever they walk into a Bluebird anywhere. And if they're not, please let us know, and we'll work on improving it, because that's really the standard that I remember at first being a little worried that some buildings we had may not be, you know, all brand new, shiny class A's, but seeing the level of service, I think that's able to overcome just a lot of cosmetic issues in some cases. So yeah, it's great. I'm glad you were able to get out there to the market and to meet some of the teammates. It's definitely a growing area, Western Canada. Exciting times.
Do you mind if I mention about the grand opening?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So then the following week, just last week, I was in Victoria for the grand opening of Quadra and Johnson with a Store West Bluebird Partners. And so Quadra is beautiful. It has an EV charger. It has a internal unloading and loading dock, climate controlled. It's just gorgeous. I've got some great interviews with tenants who are really happy with the service. It's in a residential area right near a school. And so the grand opening, which was a huge success, they're also partnering with the Make Space, which is, it invites local artists to come. It's sort of like a workspace, shared workspace, but it's for artists. And okay. So they all showed up and we had some great conversations and it was just great partnership with the community. And so we had investors, tenants, and self-storage colleagues even show up. And so thank you, Josh, for coming and supporting us. And so then I moved over to Johnson and we had the grand opening. And a couple of days before that, I had went around the neighborhood canvassing, talking to a lot of nonprofits, telling them, hey, we give away a free space for two nonprofits. And I walked into this office and I told this man, and all of a sudden his whole team was surrounding me because they support nonprofits. And they say, what do you do? Why do you do this? And I said, well, we believe it's our mission that we to be the most caring company in Canada. And we believe it's a mandate for businesses to support nonprofits. And they were just blown away. They go, wow, that's amazing. And so they're really excited to partner with us. But then I also made some great connects with some businesses. So there was a gym right across the street from Johnson. And I met with Reese, the owner, and he put out our coupon books. He wants to invite us to events. And the demographic, he just had a constant flow of traffic. So that's going to be a great place for us to partner with, along with some local pizzerias, et cetera. We have a lot of great marketing ideas. And I got to meet facility manager Cree. And a big shout out to Ryan and Kelly and Nicole. And Cree is amazing. She's done great things with that facility. It looks beautiful inside. And so we had a wonderful grand opening and a lot of foot traffic. So yeah, it's exciting times. I love the historical aspect of that building. So Vince gave me a tour and kind of explained about how it started off with horses and how did they get the horses to the second and third floor. So it was pretty interesting and amazing that we could modernize it, make it so beautiful and turn it from an eyesore into something beautiful that adds value to the community.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a incredible redevelopment project at Johnson Street in Victoria. You know, back to the growth story, it's really interesting because, you know, we've been looking at different markets across North America for storage opportunities. And so many of the markets that you've highlighted today that you visited, they have very little Class A self-storage or climate control. They have oftentimes, you know, under 4 square feet per capita, sometimes, you know, 1 or 2 square feet per capita. And we're looking at, you know, some of the more crowded markets that are more developed in big cities, especially in the U.S., where we saw earlier this week, I think it's 22 square feet per capita. So it's really unbelievable, the supply-demand dynamic. And I think that's surely one of the reasons why some of these big portfolios are fetching such high values. Not only the difficulty to get the sites built, but that just means that the, you know, the relative shortages will be perpetual.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. So in terms of the competition too, our staff is taking customers from the competition. Well, customers come over to us. Right. And they sell them on the Bluebird Difference. And it was interesting at Mayland, they are surrounded by a lot of competition, but they're also close to one of our other facilities, Blackfoot. And I asked Blackfoot, like, who's your major competitor? And they said, actually, it's our Bluebird self-storage at Mayland. So they didn't even consider those other facilities a competitor just because they're on such a different level. And so in terms of cleanliness, security, service, et cetera. And we're not the low cost leader. So we're not just giving these spaces away.
So talk a little bit about what the marketplace is like in Canada right now. So I mentioned earlier that 2025 seems to be off to a really good start, but still we're, you know, at a more normal level of demand. We're not anything like, you know, some of the peak pandemic demand. 2022 seems to be the, you know, the golden year for self-storage. So It's a competitive market. There's fewer rentals to go around, and the competitors are fighting hard for market share. So what are some of the things that that you heard about on your trip that competitors are doing to kind of grab some extra customers? What kind of tactics are they up to?
Well, it's mainly just price gouging, price wars. So they're just trying to compete on price, and that's not the right way to go. And so, you know, they're not, they're reducing staff, going more remote, just less and less services. And so that's causing a huge, you know, just price war. So if you can try to compete on that level, it's just kind of a downward spiral. And I also noticed that consumers were talking a lot and very concerned about the tariffs. And so that is impacting their pockets, which impacts self-storage. So, you know, obviously we don't provide shelter or food, which are people's main concerns when they go to spend money, is like they need shelter, they need certain things, certain necessities, right? So that is impacting, I believe, self-storage.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, I think for the, with the tariffs, we're not expecting a huge impact directly to our development business, but you know, many tenants, especially business tenants, they have a lot of exports to the U.S. So if they're facing, you know, bigger tariffs, they're going to be facing some challenges with profits as well as sales volume. So we got to keep an eye on that. But certain locations of ours are definitely feeling a little bit of a pinch and a lot of worry, for sure. Yeah, some of the tactics to try and gain more market share, they lack transparency. So trying to get the customers in, as you said, at a low rate, but then, you know, very quickly hitting them with very aggressive increases after 3 months. The other trick, of course, is much more prevalent in Canada. It's not as big of a thing in the U.S., but the 4-week sneak. So kind of, you know, showing customers a very low rate on online, which is a weekly price, and then billing them for 4-week cycles. So you're paying for 28 days at a time instead of, you know, paying for, you know, more than 30 days at a time. So you'll be making 13 payments a year instead of 12. So trying to squeeze an extra 8% rent out of customers. So, you know, it's a nice tactic. It may not be the best in the long term, but it's definitely fairly prevalent from some of the bigger players in Canada.
Yeah, I would argue it's not a nice tactic. I think it's horrible what, you know, what they're doing, and with the ECRI's existing customer rent increases and being so aggressive and the lack of transparency, like you mentioned. And then, so, you know, I was proud of our company. The Bluebird Difference is we are very transparent, and we do offer promotions, but we are very transparent. Tenants know what their price is going to go up to when they first move in. And then we lock tenants in for 365 days to that price. And so they don't feel like it's the bait and switch, right? Where they walked in, they thought they were going to get one rate, and then in 30 days to, you know, 3 months, they get this huge rent increase, and then another one, and then another one. And self-storage will try to argue, well, it's legal, it's all legal, but is it the right thing to do? And so that's the question I ask is, how would you feel if you were in their shoes? And I know for me, from a budget perspective, budget is very important. And so if something is increasing at such a rapid rate and such a steep incline, that is a concern for me. I run on a very tight budget, as a lot of consumers do. And we want to know what's our cost going to be so we can work it into our budget. And, you know, it's kind of like the variable rate mortgage, which we all remember that, you know, debacle. And I go for the 30 rate fixed because I want to know what my budget is going to be in terms of housing. So it's treating the customer right and putting yourself in their shoes and saying, let's do the right thing. How would I want to be treated? And so, yeah, I agree with you on those points.
Yeah. The, you know, taking advantage of people because, you feel like if you raise their rent, they're not going to be able to move, you know, either physically or financially or both. And, it's a pretty significant switching cost to go find a more expensive facility perhaps, you know, with a higher intro rate than what they thought they were getting. The requirement in some cases to rent a truck can be expensive, or to even hire movers, depending on how much stuff they have or their physical health. So it's definitely not what we would want to do to a customer, and that's why we lock in their rates for the first year. So, do you want to talk a little bit about the spring and how things are going in terms of the rental activity?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so this year has just really gotten off to a great start. I mean, the first quarter, it's winter. It's usually pretty quiet. But I've noted before in some LinkedIn posts that April was quite busy. And some sites that are normally still kind of quiet, you know, still kind of in winter in April, got a bit of an earlier start, I would say, you know, certainly by mid-April. So that was great to see. And then May was extremely strong. Some of the markets where we've had, you know, pretty good performance last year carried into this year. Calgary has been a great market for us, super busy. We've got, you know, in the greater Toronto area and the GTA, we've got Mississauga that's really, really performed well. We've talked a lot about our Matheson site. We've got another Toronto site that's been doing great. And we are growing pretty rapidly in Quebec. So we have an older facility in Montreal that's been doing extremely well. Lots of commercial tenants and just tremendous demand, hard to keep up with. And then we just opened very recently our Metropolitan site in Montreal. And that site is off to a fantastic start. And then we've got another site near Quebec City, which has been doing well. So I'm very encouraged. I would say right now, some of our Quebec sites are some of our busiest. And that's really encouraging since we're building three more in Montreal and Quebec City. So things are extremely, extremely encouraging. You know, last year, for a lot of reasons with, you know, the higher interest rates, which then led to a bit of a frozen housing market and higher inflation, you know, all those things, you know, contributed to a little bit less storage demand and more vacates as customers were having trouble paying for food and had to let their storage go. So things have settled down a little bit with inflation and the consumers are coming back. And as good as 2022 was, I would say 2024 was hard in the opposite way. But 2025 seems to be a great bounce back, and we're hoping that that will continue.
Yes, agreed. And is it okay if I touch on some marketing that we're doing?
Yeah, please. I think everybody's going to be interested in marketing because it's more important than ever right now.
It surely is. And we're doing some things different than a lot of other competitors. So we have a Facebook page and Instagram page for each of our facilities. And our facility managers, if they want, they can have access to it to help grow their Instagram page, reach out to businesses, follow up with a call, an email, and like them and share likes. And then also some facilities, like I mentioned, with Brooklyn and Allison and Kane and Haley, they've come up with that marketing with the Cineplex. And Allison came up with a great idea to use coupon books and go to other businesses and ask if we could put coupon books up by their register. And many people, businesses were open to that in Victoria, especially with Johnson. I did that. So that was a great idea. Then we kind of brainstormed about maybe some coupons in the form of a sticker and partnering with pizza companies. And one of the pizza companies that does quite a bit of takeout in Victoria was really open to that and really excited about that. And so just some out of the box creative ways. Also, Allison attended a teddy bear picnic fundraiser for preschool and helped children to make bluebird shaped bird feeders that were made with all natural ingredients. And we brought in Brittany, the bluebird mascot. And so Brittany was there to greet children and it was just a lovely time. So it's just making that community connection, going to chamber events, thinking outside the box, making partnerships with these different businesses where we can help them and they can help us. And we all, as iron sharpens iron, help grow the business community. So people, businesses were really receptive to that. And then also our nonprofit affiliations and partnerships. They were really excited about how we actually care and we give them a free unit and want to support their nonprofit and all that they're doing. We believe that it makes community stronger And we're all about that. So those were some of the marketing ideas that we're implementing also in one of our facilities, talking about maybe doing a family event where it's surrounded by residential and it has a big parking area. So could we put a movie screen up and do a big family event? And then also, we have coming up in September, our Bluebird Day of Joy. And that's actually a real holiday in Canada. So we're going to make a huge bit about that and a huge celebration. And so more to come. There was a lot more discussed. I have tons of notes and action items that I need to start working on, but lots of good things.
Well, I think all the work that you've been doing, all the time you've been putting in to the social media and to all the local events, I think the community engagement is really going to take us to the next level. We've historically done a lot when it comes to the website and the digital marketing, but I think getting out into the community, having your engagement as well as all the site staff is going to be a game changer for us in 2025.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And thank you for that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love working with our staff and just supporting them from a marketing perspective. And they are they're the secret sauce, right? They're doing great things and really proud of our team. It was interesting going through Canada and pretty much everyone I talked to, they were aware, they knew of Bluebird. So our name is out there. And that was exciting to see as well, that our brand is making huge gains.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that you're doing. It's been a great update. I think, as you said, there's lots of news to share and, lots more coming. It's exciting times in self-storage in Canada.
Yes, it is. Well, thank you, everyone. And this will end the segment for Self-Storage Canada, Episode 3, about the exciting times in the summer and how things are popping. So we appreciate you. Appreciate your comments. Please share. Please like. Please comment. And let us know what topics you want to hear about. So more to come. Thank you, everyone.
That concludes this episode of the Self-Storage Canada podcast. Be sure to share and subscribe as we continue to tackle self-storage news, trends, economy, and education while sharing our personal experiences from the competitive world of self-storage.